This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to you. We have a very important show today because, once again, I've got Meredith Curtis on the line, and we are doing lunch with Felice and Meredith. So let me welcome you first, Meredith.
Thank you, Felice, for having me here. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, gosh, Meredith, me too, because this is a really important show. I almost launched in without even doing an introduction because I want to get to the meat of what we're going to talk about today, and that's keeping kids Christian. I mean, there has been an outcry really from the Christian churches just across denomination lines about kids growing up in godly homes, and then when they get to those teen years, they fall away from their faith, and, you know, parents are looking and saying, you know, what am I doing wrong? I've done the same thing with child number one and number two, and they're fine, but number three comes along, and it's a totally different thing, or it could be number one who's gone astray, you know, in the order. It really doesn't matter. It's almost like there's no rhyme or reason. But Meredith, both of us are at the end of our homeschool journeys, and you well, tell us a little bit about, you know, your kids and their ages. So I know we've done this before, but just so parents can, that are listening, maybe this is a first show for them, Meredith, and then I'll do the same, and then we can share a little bit about where our expertise is coming from. Ha ha, I say, aimlessly.
That sounds awesome. Okay, my children, I have five children, and the oldest is 27, and the youngest is 15. All of my children are serving the Lord, and all of them love Jesus, want to be stronger and stronger in Him. They're all involved in some type of ministry in our local church. But all of them went through a period of questioning. All of them went through something, at least one thing that was a little bit, you know, scary for me as a parent, thinking, okay, the devil is after my child now, what do I do? So I just, you know, want to share that because it's not like they just effortlessly went from childhood to loving Jesus as teens and adults.
Okay, great. And I have five children, and two are adults now, and I have an 18, a 16 almost in a few days, and a 13-year-old. So, and the same thing, you know, I had children that were supercharged, on fire for the Lord, and we would take them to all kinds of youth rallies and adult rallies and, you know, Christian talks, and they really embraced, you know, their walk with the Lord in Christianity, and then at some point, you know, for each of my children, there has been that, you know, where either they've said some things or, you know, we've had some private discussions, and, you know, your first inclination is to make sure that your face doesn't just reflect the, you know, I don't want to say the horror, but just, you know, kind of like the first time for me, Meredith, I was really shocked. So I tried as hard as I could because you can pretty much read my face, you know, and exactly what I think. That's why I always say, you know, I'm not one to put on airs or, you know, try to not let you think what I'm pretty honest, you know, because it's so apparent on my face. So, so, you know, I tried really hard, and, you know, I had one child say, well, Mom, I know it's going to be really upsetting for you, and, you know, and I was happy that they came to me with that issue, as I'm sure you are, too. So we both, you know, in thinking about this and praying about this, you know, I've taught entire courses and I believe I did one for the Finish Well conference, which Meredith hosts a show on this network, the Finish Well radio show, and she also has a Finish Well conference that she's done for the past 2 years, and I believe one of the talks I did was on keeping kids Christian. But we don't have, as long as a seminar normally is, and so we are distilling for you, both Meredith and I, key points. And so if you're listening to this in the archives, if you go to Vintage Homeschool Moms and you look for the broadcast that says Vintage Homeschool Moms, Keeping Kids Christian, you'll find the handout there. And obviously, if you're in the chat room now live, we've put that link there for you to download the handout so you can follow along with us. So, Meredith, why don't you share your first point in the list? We've got 4 points each, so share with us, what one of your points is, and then I'll add to that with mine.
Okay, great. My first point is to win your children's heart. And I just want to start with a spiritual truth, and that is that our children do not belong to us. They belong to the Lord, and God entrusts them to us for a season. And He really has confidence that we can raise our children to love Him. Because in Malachi, God says He hates divorce, and He says, and why have I made the two one, meaning why have I, had a husband and a wife get married? And then the answer is to produce godly offspring. And so God is confident in us as parents that we can produce godly offspring, that we can teach our children to love and serve the Lord. He says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so I want to start with that point, that God has confidence in us. And because of that, it is very important for us to win our children's heart. You see, our children, from a very early age, relate to us. They have an innate desire to please us, to make us proud of them. They want us to love them, and they want to be close to us. And when they become at an age where they relate to the Lord, they see God in the same way that they see parents, especially their father. So it's very important that they understand the character of God through us. And that sounds a little bit overwhelming, but I think that because God is so concerned about our children and loves them so much, He is going to pour out the grace that we need to reflect the character of Christ to our children. Now, God wins our heart. And if you read through the Old Testament, especially the prophets, you get a glimpse of God winning the Israelites' heart. And I want to encourage you to win your children's heart, your teenagers' heart. Maybe you've had a great relationship, with them as they grew up, but as they became teenagers, there's more distance. Or maybe really never had a great relationship with your children, your teenagers, because you've been so busy. I want to encourage you, it is not too late to build a close relationship with your teenager. Teenagers still love you. They want your affirmation. They want you to be proud of them. They want to be close to you, no matter what they say and what they do. And a lot of times, if we're not close to our children, it's because our children's hearts are wounded towards us. And we need to repair that relationship. Once we have repaired that relationship, our children need to know that they are not our little robots that we want to do what we say, but they are people created in the image of God that have special gifts, special talents, that we love them, we respect them, we're their greatest fan, and that we desire above all things that things would go well for them. And they would be blessed, and they would walk closely with the Lord. When our children know that we love them, it strengthens our relationship with them, because they know that we are for them, and the rules that we bring, the boundaries that we bring, are for their good, not to make our life more convenient. And so start out by making sure that you have relationship time with your children. Children and teenagers spell love, T-I-M-E. It is very inconvenient sometimes to make time in your schedule to build a relationship with your teenager, especially if you're winning their heart back and their strain. And I know that I got very busy with my mom when she was near the end of her life. And then my father was very sick for the next 2 years of his life, the end of his life. And as a result, there was a lot of relationship time that my younger two children did not get to spend with me. Well, my son and I kind of bounced back right away. But my Sarah Joy, we had to really, you know, work through some hurt. And I had to ask her forgiveness for not being there. And she also had to understand, you know, the responsibilities that I had. And so what happened is the first few times that we would go out to lunch, we were both committed, we're going to make this relationship work. It was very awkward. It, honestly, it wasn't fun. And we both left thinking, I don't want to do this again. But honestly, we persevered because we both love the Lord and we want to do what's right. And now we're really close and we're about to take a trip together for a week. And we are so excited. We're not, you know, thinking, oh, no, we have to spend time together to build our relationship. But we're really excited. So wherever the relationship is with your teen, make a commitment that you are going to be close to your teen and win their heart, no matter what the cost and what the price.
Oh, that is so good. And I was hoping you were going to share that story. And, you know, as you were talking, Meredith, this is something I probably will take some time for you and I to set aside for you to record just on the topic of winning the heart, because you shared a little bit of this at the Finish Well. One of the great things at that conference, Meredith has kind of like a round table discussion, like a panel of moms and vintage moms, Meredith.
Yes, so we all are, aren't we? That's
yeah,
so funny.
That have, you know, homeschooled for quite a while. And then she has a room full of people who are attending the conference that can ask us any questions. And you touched on that. And I kept thinking, oh, that would be such a good presentation, like a full length just on that. So, and as, you know, God always has the, my key point number one, which we wrote these separately, is the thing that I love teaching, and if you must use words, and it's, you know, attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, who said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words, and that's, of course,
right,
been disputed, and, you know, did he say that or not, but whether or not he did, it's such a beautiful thought, and it goes along with what you were saying, and I'm just going to be brief with this, because I always have too many words, but it was just what you were saying, like in the Father, the children can see the Godhead in the figure, you know, the God is the head of the family and the Father is the head. And so we will do more good or harm with our children by our example than anything else. We can tell them you should not smoke and then have four packs of cigarettes sitting on the nightstand. Or we can say, well, you really need to lose weight, but, you know, you're the one who needs to lose the weight more so than your child does. Or don't drink Coke, but I'm going to drink Coke. You know, I'm just giving some, you know, ridiculous examples there. But that's really, you know, in essence what you're saying is that, you know, that if you want your child to model a good behavior, then you have to be that good behavior. And we always say, why is it that our kids pick up all our bad habits? You know, because maybe we're demonstrating those a little bit more frequently than the good ones, you know. So it's just food for thought. And as I share this with all of you, know that that finger is pointing back at me. So, you know, it's why I love these sessions, because I learn something, you know, from each one of them. So, and that's what I wanted to share with all of you. So, Meredith, number two on your list.
Number two on my list is to instruct your child about Jesus and to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And so there's basically the knowledge and then the knowing. the knowing intimately. And to be honest with you, you cannot instruct your child in the word and the truth of God unless you know it. And you can't introduce them to Jesus unless you know him. So Felice made such a good point about being an example, because the truth is, unless you love the Lord and you are obedient to the Lord in all of your life, you will not be able to keep your kids Christian. That's just the bottom line. So she made such a good point. And don't neglect teaching your children the truth. And I really recommend using Christian curriculum to teach your children. I know that Felice has amazing Christian unit studies on science. I've written a book on economics from a Christian point of view, a class. I've written all kinds of classes from a Christian point of view. And in them, I bring up Christian heroes. We're going through American history right now, and I'm teaching my children about Peter Cartwright and how he got saved and how he led so many people to the Lord, and Charles Finney, and how he just decided one day, I need to get right with God, and I'm going out into the woods, and I'm not coming out till I'm right with God. And he just closed his lawyer's, you know, office, and he went out to the woods for 5 hours until he had finished repenting and received the forgiveness and the assurance of salvation. And on, like, our history is full of villains, but it's filled with people who loved God. Science reveals the character of God. The Word of God is truth. You should memorize it. You should study it. You should read it. You should listen to it. Felice has a great study on Proverbs. And so many things like that we demonstrate by us on our own, you know, reading the Word. But we also need to bring the Word of God into everything that we're teaching our children as we're homeschooling, and also to study the Word of God itself. So often I help, you know, high school families with their transcripts, and I am sad to say many of them don't have Bible classes on their transcripts. And when I was planning my children's high school classes, Old Testament Survey and New Testament Survey were my first classes I wrote down, because I wanted them, before they graduated high school, to have read the entire Bible as a high schooler. And so, you know, our New Testament Survey involves reading the entire Bible, the entire New Testament and the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament, and that's important to me. But beyond that, you know, I've instructed my children in what the Word of God says about finances, and what the Word of God says about marriage and sexual purity, and what the Word of God says about friendship, and what the Word of God says about being a homemaker and providing as a man for your home. So all of those things, instruct your children in the Word of God, because here's the truth. The ways of the Lord, when you apply biblical principles to life, those are the ways of the Lord, like the life, the godly life. That is so attractive. That is what everyone wants. Do you know how many people look at a godly family and say, I want that? Now, a lot of them aren't willing to pay the price of giving up their sin to have it, but the ways of the Lord are peaceful and they're pleasant. And so when you teach your children that God has a way of life for you, and then also introduce your children to the Lord, pray about things together. You know, if you're talking to your son or your daughter, and, you know, they're confused about something, say, you know what, God has the answer to this situation. Let's just pray real quick right now. And you just stop and you pray and you say, you know, God is for you. And I know God is going to answer this prayer, and God's going to give you wisdom, because you can foster that relationship. It's like if you think of yourself hosting a party and you have someone who comes who doesn't know anyone there, you would walk that person around and you would have them meet people, and then you might say, oh, this is Felice, and Felice is a publisher, and she's a very godly mom, and you would share some things that the two of them have in common and get them talking, and then you would pull away so they could keep talking. That's the same idea in introducing your children to Jesus. They don't sometimes know how to relate to the Lord. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to read the Word as an adult. They sometimes feel like, okay, I'm not a child anymore. How do I do this? So, so many things ministering together at church. My children sing with me on the worship team, and my Rose, you know, she's an amazing worship leader, and she'll come to me sometimes when she leads worship, and she'll say, okay, I was feeling like this, but I wasn't sure what to do. How do I know if God is speaking to me? So I talk to her about that, and I say, well, sometimes I don't know, but when I really am sure is when this happens or this happens, or, you know, I'm just sharing with her real things. So introduce your children to Jesus, because they can have a vibrant walk with the Lord. It doesn't have to be distant and far away. It can be up close.
Oh, that's so great. And my second is explaining and not commanding. And it's as much for all of you as it is for me. I'm really good at commanding to my kids and telling them what they have to do and, you know, not really listening to any input. And I found that that's great when they're little. You know, you can say, you know, I need you to do these three things before you can eat breakfast. You know, make your bed, pick up your, you know, put your pajamas away and get dressed. But when they're older, it's much better to explain that, look, I expect this, this, and this to happen before breakfast time and give them parameters, but not to command, because it's just a different dynamic, isn't it, Meredith, than, you know, little ones versus teens, because you can get so much more cooperation when you explain what you expect from them rather than when you command it.
Oh, I completely agree with you, because it shows them respect. And I try to treat my teenagers the way I would treat a friend. Not that I don't expect them to obey me and honor me, because I do, but I think it's a lot easier to respect and obey someone who treats you with respect and who takes the time to say, hey, listen, this is why we're going to do this. We have company coming tomorrow, so I'm going to need to change all the beds. Would you help me? It's just so much better than saying, go change the four beds upstairs, you know, and they don't even know why. So I agree with you. I think that, you know, if we're not willing to treat our children with the respect we would give adults, they're not going to be willing to be responsible and behave in a mature way.
Oh, that is so good. And today I'm going to take a break from our normal play commercial, and our sponsor today is Powerline Productions, which is probably going to surprise Meredith, because she is the owner of Powerline Productions. And in our busy schedules, Meredith hasn't had a chance to get a commercial together, but I just wanted to share with you where to find Meredith's books, and that is at meredithcurtis.com/books is probably the easiest way, or I believe it's powerlineproductions.com. Is that correct, Meredith?
It's powerlineprod.com.
Okay, that's what I thought. So that's why you go to meredithcurtis.com and click on the book link. And Meredith has an amazing array of books, everything from the 7 R's of homeschooling, which she has done classes on that topic that go along with her book, all the way down to raising godly women and godly young men, Bible studies, literature classes, poetry. You even have a book on quick and easy unit studies and how to create unit studies with living books, which is one of my favorites, which I have. And then for those of you with kids in the teen years, Real Men 101, Godly Manhood, as well as the one that she has for girls, God's Girls Talk About Boys Dating, Courtship, and Marriage, and that's a Bible study and workshop. And Meredith, these didn't just happen. These are things that you've been teaching for a really, really long time with your co-op, with your own kids. So these are all tried and tested, aren't they?
They are, and they are all born of things I created for my children. Or, you know, sometimes for Laura's sons before Jimmy was at an age. And then they've not only been tried, they've been revamped and revamped again. And so we are really excited. Laura has written some books too, my friend Laura Nolette. And it is just really such a blessing to see people outside of our family and church using the books, because they've really been fun to create and fun to use in our homeschool.
Right. And I wanted to mention that because, you know, Meredith really is one of those people that I would definitely trust with curriculum choices. And you know, I know it's really difficult to find good things in that regard. I mean, I think, Meredith, you probably are the only one I know in the homeschool world that has that type of material, especially for the young men and young women. And it's not just, here, Mom, you know, you do this and, you know, teach your child, but your child has a workbook and you go through it together. And, you know, I know I did the Godly Men with Nick, and he did sections of it with his dad. I just got him started on it during the day, and it really brought them closer together. So if you do have a heart issue in your family and you want to make, you know, get to the root of that problem and also get with your children, you know, on a one-on-one, that is something that I would recommend. I mean, you could do it in a small group study, but just make sure you have time to spend with that son or daughter, especially in their teen years, where you can take some time and address some of those, you know, things that may not even be, they may not have voiced as a concern, but really going through that study, I just think that it is excellent. And that they will share with you some things that you may not have even known was an issue. So it's MeredithCurtis.com, and on her website, just click the link for books. So thank you, Meredith, for being our sponsor for today's show.
Oh, thank you so much. That was a pleasant surprise. Thank you.
Okay, well, we have to get a commercial made up for you, and that's I'm sure, on your list of things to do. Let me just share, Meredith came off of finishing the Big Finish Well conference in January. We're recording right now the beginning of March, and she has a daughter getting married this summer in June. So this is her first big wedding of her girls. So there's a lot going on in the Curtis household, as they also, I think, are doing some home improvements to their home. Because otherwise,
yes, we are.
You know, and you've got a graduation this year too, if I remember,
well,
or no?
Yes, coming up in the next 3 months, I've got an 18th birthday, a high school graduation, a college graduation, and, of course, we have to do a bunch of home improvements before we renew our homeowner's insurance in June, because we finally settled with our insurance company. So we have to redo the ceiling, the carpeting, and some painting. So we are just grateful that God is the energizer, and he says we'll mount up on wings as eagles, because if we think about everything coming up, oh, and of course, then there's the wedding. Mm-hmm. So we're just very grateful for God's grace and excited to see how he makes everything fit into place over the next 3 months.
Yeah, and for those of you that weren't here at the very beginning of the show, I have a couple of friends sitting in here listening live as I record that are possible show hosts for the future, and they were giggling because I was sharing with them why you had a settlement with your insurance. Meredith actually blew up a science experiment in her kitchen. But we're not going to go into that right now, but they both laughed and said that could have been either one of them. But,
yes.
Yeah, this is really hands-on science. We don't just talk about it. We experiment sometimes in our kitchen like Meredith. Oh, gosh. Anyway, all right, your number three point is stay vigilant. So tell us about that.
Felicie, I graduated my first daughter in 2003, excuse me, and I did not have a really hard time protecting her from the world. We didn't have internet. We didn't even really, I wasn't even sure if I knew about internet. It was something vague that I think Mary Pride talked about. And I just, you know, we lived in a very, you know, peaceful little world. And she didn't, there weren't a lot of kids her age in the church at the time. And so she really, I felt so bad about it because, you know, I thought, oh, Lord, why haven't you brought a lot of friends her age and all this stuff? Well, my younger two, they'll graduate in 2014 and 2016, completely different story. A big part of that is the internet. And I just, I want to talk about staying vigilant. Before I get into why and how, I just want to say this. God has a plan for our life. He loves us. He loves our children. He has a plan for them. And he, everything he deposited in them, everything he led us to pour into them with our homeschooling, it is all going to come to this beautiful picture. But the devil has a plan for our children too. And his plan is to destroy them by lying to them, by leading them into temptation, by setting traps and snares for them to fall into. And that is just the reality of life. And we live in evil times, but the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. So we don't need to be afraid, but we do need to be vigilant. And I have found as the parent of a teenager, but even more so as a pastor's wife who helps mothers and fathers walk through things they have discovered that their teenager is up to, I have realized you have to stay vigilant. You need to always know your teen's friends and know them well, not just, you know, hi, Mrs. Cleaver, you know, little Eddie Haskell, that kind of relationship. You need to know them well, who they are, what they do, what they believe, what they love, what they hate. You need to know your children's social network sites. My daughter had a Tumblr for 6 months before I knew about it. And in that Tumblr account, she had these friends. And finally she came to me, Mom, and she said, Mom, I have this Tumblr account, and I'm really uncomfortable with some of the people that I'm friends with. And my response was, what is a Tumblr account? I had no idea. So wow.
I'm not even sure what that is, Meredith. Why don't you share with us what that is? Because I don't even know.
It is one of those sites like you know, like Facebook or like what's the photograph one?
Pinterest?
Like MySpace. And it's a blogging site where people blog and they share their blogs, and I don't know if it's bad or good. I just know that she seemed to have hooked up with friends on there that are not into good things. And so there's Tumblr, there is Facebook, I think they're reviving MySpace again, so it's becoming bigger. There's the photograph thing where you can post your photographs and people are friends with you there. There's Pinterest. There's so many of these social places where kids can have accounts, they can talk to other people. So here is what I would tell every parent. Know every social media site that your child belongs to and have their password. And let your child know at any time that I feel I want to, I will go onto your site, log in under your password, and read everything on your site. Now, to be honest with you, I've never read anything on my children's site because I'm not a big, you know, I want them to have their privacy and, you know, all of that. But I do have their passwords. I do have their accounts because that is important to know. That is important for them to have that accountability because you would not let your child be unchaperoned in a mall where 50% of the stores in the mall sold pornographic material.
Right.
But we let our children be unchaperoned on the internet, and 50% of what is out there on the internet is pornographic. So pornography is a huge thing,
right.
And we want to know and protect our children. You need to, you know, you can't just let your child go hang out with families. There are families who have teenagers who the parents actually do drugs. There are families that watch R-rated movies with their teenagers. So I'm just saying that a lot of times we think, oh, we met this family at church, they're a good family. Oh, this is the church youth group, they're going to be fine. I've met teenagers who were beaten up in their church youth group. So my point is, always know what your teenager is doing, who they're with, who they're friends with, what they like, and why they like the things that they like. Because a lot of times when children are doing things they shouldn't do, they will be very defensive. They will have all kinds of excuses. But
right.
Children need to know that you care about what they're doing, and you, and there is that boundary, that accountability. So that is, I think, internet has changed the ball game. But even without internet in the picture, we also have the whole realm of people. People will influence your children, and you need to be very careful who your children are able to be with. Tonight on the radio show, I'm going to be talking about how to stay clean in a dirty world, and I'm going to be talking to children, to teenagers, not children, teenagers about pornography and sexual fantasies and lust and things like that, and how to stay clean. But it really is a big thing for teenagers, and pornography is so aggressive. So if you have a teenage boy, my advice is never have any kind of media behind a closed door.
Mm-hmm. We've even taken internet off of phones and, you know, password Wi-Fi. I was just talking to a family that is in a place that where a lot of Christians live, and they said that at night they disconnect Wi-Fi because they weren't realizing that the kids were getting on it, like on the their kids did not have phones, but they had Wi-Fi enabled devices. So I always, any kind of device that my kids get, I password protect it. There's very few times that they need to go on the internet, and what I found too is that the apps circumvent. So, like, I blocked YouTube at one time and then found out that there's a YouTube app, you know. So even if you do have protections on your phone, and Covenant Eyes is a really good one, and we do subscribe to that, but sometimes the apps, if they're not engaged, like Covenant Eyes, you can only go on the internet or do any of those things through that porthole, and that's how on that portal. And that's how they are able to, you know, suppress anything not desirable. But with apps and things like that, you know, you can, you just have to be really savvy. And it's that's why, you know, all of those kinds of things are good. But I think, Meredith, the value of your show is going to be even better, because we want children that are not going to be, you know, we're not going to be able to hover over them per se,
right,
every single second of the day. So we need to have and raise kids that are, you know, going to keep Christ in front of them. The much used or overused, you know, what would Jesus do is the best, you know, in a little nutshell way. You know, if the Lord was sitting here with you, would you be watching this or looking at this or whatever? And that's a really good, you know, litmus test, so to speak. And so those are all good things. So I'm excited. Meredith's show can be found at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Click on the finish. Why am I drawing a blank, Meredith?
Ultimate Radio Network onto the Finishwell logo.
Right. It's the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and then the Finishwell is FW Radio. So I knew it was by the Finishwell team. I think that's what I was trying to say, is Finishwell team, but it's Finishwell Radio. So that is, I think you'll really enjoy it. And, you know, sometimes it takes Meredith a little bit of time to get the audios up, because it is with a live group of teens, and sometimes there's some editing that needs to be done, but they do get up. So I know that you'll enjoy that. My number three point, and we're almost out of time, Eric, so we're going to have to wrap these up, but my number three and number four I'm actually going to combine, and one is listening to contrary opinions, and that means when your kids have a different opinion of what than you do. Sometimes it's very benign. You know, I like red and you like green. I mean, you know, it could be that. But on some of the things that my kids have had opinions on, like let's say it's a social issue, which, you know, that's not a good example, but I'm just going to put that one because my kids are pretty much, we're like all cut of the same cloth, so to speak. But actually, I could use a social issue one. My kids are a lot less tolerant, let's say, of the government than I am. I think part of it is because I don't expect a whole lot from the U.S. government, but my children took my brother-in-law's taught a class that we actually sell on our at Media Angels, and that is American government and elections class, and then also the U.S. American history class. So they got to hear what America should be. They got to hear and learn about the Constitution, what the Constitution teaches, and how the American government was set up to run and to work. So because they, so to speak, cut their eye teeth on those classes, and now at Current Issues in the Constitution, a radio show that is on this network, a lot of times they will get upset when they hear what is happening today and how it is abusive in, when you hold it up to the Constitution. And so they're more disparaging to certain people within the government than I am. And my kids will say to me things like, you know, well, why aren't you that upset, da-da-da? And I'll say, you know, I'll give my reason. And so when I'm saying you're listening to contrary opinions, sometimes it's hard for us to listen to their take on something, especially if we disagree. But I've had to learn to listen, let them express it, because a lot of times it's just expression and it doesn't go any further. And sometimes if I sense that it will go further, then I'll address it. And so one of the things I've prayed for, you know, we have so many spiritual gifts, and I love, Meredith, where you were sharing earlier, you know, just about how important Bible is in your family and ours, too. I mean, we've done Bible every year. I have to be creative on our course code. And a lot of times, you know, put it down as an elective, but every year we're doing a Bible course. And so, like the one year you mentioned, the homeschooling with Proverbs that I have. But, you know, whatever, we're just so, so tuned in. But as parents, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I always prayed for is discernment, that gift of knowing and discerning when there is an issue, especially those of us with large families. There are so many things that can take your eyes off your kids just in the daily run of things. And that's really important. So when the Lord, you know, calls something or I have a check in my spirit, then I really tune into that. And number four for me was discussing pros and cons. And you've got number four, walking through doubts. And I'll let you add just a minute. But I wanted to say about the discussing pros and cons, that also goes into listening to the contrary opinions, because I want to know that they understand what it means to be Christian, and we've discussed what would your life be like without Jesus. For example, if you were in, you know, and we'll do not necessarily play act, but we'll do situational things. You know, if you're in a situation with a bunch of kids who are drinking and you are a Christian, you know, what would be your inclination? You know, and usually the inclination is going to be to try to help somebody or to, you know, if they can't, to remove themselves from the situation. So then we'll discuss, well, what if you're not a Christian? You know, probably join in the fun. That's just one example of a lot of different things. We've done that with the creation versus evolution, because I believe in other talks I've done on keeping kids Christian that an understanding of the scientific reality of creation against evolution is really pivotal to your child's Christian walk, because most kids
lose their faith over philosophy and evolution. So they'll either get it from some philosophy professor who, you know, shows them these great thinkers that were definitely not, you know, Christians at all, or through evolution, or a combination of both. And historically, just even within, you know, historically within the, you know, realm of friends I have found that it's been a combination of the two. It really just hasn't been philosophy alone, but it's been, you know, philosophical or a philosophy professor as well as someone evolutionary who, and that really has been a big thing for me, is to make sure that they don't just understand creationism and what God teaches in the Bible and what Genesis says and how many times Jesus in the New Testament referred to Genesis. If it was just a myth, why would the Creator, God, you know, became flesh, talk about Genesis so many times? They get that, but they also get, this is what evolution teaches, and this is why we believe that, you know, is not correct, and here's why. I wanted you to add to that with walking through doubts, Meredith, if you could, and then we've got a question.
Wow, that's awesome, Felice. I agree with you 100%, and that is, you know, now I don't have to share that because I was going to talk about evolution, but you covered that well, and philosophy. I just think that children, when they begin to take faith on for themselves, they have a lot of questions, and sometimes they have a lot of doubts. All of my children have had doubts and questions. How do I know the Bible is true? How can I trust it? What about, you know, everywhere I look, they're talking about evolution, evolution, evolution. Mm-hmm. Of course, my kids have been, you know, trained with creation and creation materials. But then when we go out anywhere, how do we know that God created the world? And what about Jesus? Is he the only way? You know, what about these people? What about other religions? And so we have a lot of resources in our home that our children can read when they have questions. They can pick up and look at when they're wondering. We have a lot of talks with our children about their doubts and, you know, saying when they have their doubts, we say, wow, that is a great question. And, you know, a lot of people have struggled with that. And here is the answer. Right now we're reading a book by Lou Wallace in our American literature class called Ben-Hur. And Lou mm-hmm. Wallace was a friend of an atheist, and one day an atheist said to him, why don't you go and prove once and for all that Jesus, you know, isn't God, and let's shut this Christianity stuff down. And Lou Wallace researched it and went to explore it, and the result of that was writing Ben-Hur and coming to a saving relationship with Jesus. And I really think that, you know, I tell my children about people like that and Josh McDowell and others who doubted God, but they researched it and they came to have a strong abiding faith in Christ. And so I don't think there's anything to worry about, and there's so many resources out there. Answers in Genesis, Media Angels has so many things, and there's just, I think Israel Wayne is beginning an apologetics worldview ministry, but these are things right. that are important for kids. My children know worldview so well that when they're in their college classes, they can tell what worldview their professor is coming from. And that's because I've taken the time to teach them those things, and it's a valuable time. So
that's so wonderful, Meredith. And but you know, I just, aren't you smiling that our things kind of dovetailed in together? You know, Meredith is a sister I never had.
It's so awesome because every time we speak, they always fit together. And I don't even ever want to know what you're going to say, because I just, it's one of those things where I love to see the Lord do that. So I always
you
love
to. You
didn't
even get the handout beforehand. Either.
No, I don't even want to know, because I want to see how it fits together. It's so fun.
Yeah, it is. And I'd ask you for some points, and I didn't read those until I wrote mine. I was tempted to. I'm going to tell you that. I was going, where's my phone so I can see? She sent me a text of her points. But, you know, and so, and it's funny because sometimes my points overlap, like my 3 and 4, you know, really I had 3 points that kind of overlap. But you know, I wanted to separate them out because just allowing your kids to talk with the opinions part is important because it allows them to vocalize and you can help them sometimes. Like I have to help my kids be a little bit more politically correct in a good way, if that makes sense, because they'll
right.
use, you know, adjectives like, well, that's just stupid, you know, or
right.
what were they thinking, you know. So you want them to be able to give you their opinion so that you can help them and say, okay, if this is a discussion and we're, adverse, you know, parts of the discussion, you know, you're at one end and I'm at the other, then all you're going to do is make me angry, and I'm going to be thinking of that anger. And so you have to work really hard. Like I would talk to a friend of mine, and we would be of the same, you know, faith and love the Lord. And I mean, just kind of be everywhere the same. But every time we would discuss something, she would start crying. And I would just look at her, and, you know, she would just get her, all she could do was get upset and cry. And so that's, you know, she'd say, I lose every, you know, argument with you. And I said, well, we're not even arguing. We're discussing a difference of opinion. And so I think it's important for our kids because when they're littler, you'll find that if they're really vehement about something, then they will cry. So you can help them through that. So I just wanted to touch on that again. And we have a great question here from our audience, Meredith. And I'm going to ask this to you because she alluded to something that you mentioned with your daughter. And this is, she said, my daughter just started getting into communities on Google Plus, and she isn't hiding anything from me, but she did start doing role plays with these groups. They seem harmless enough on the surface. I've read them all, but I'm concerned about addictions to role play and the relationship she is forming with these people we don't know. What do you think about this?
My answer would be that I think your concern is from the Lord. I think role-playing can be dangerous. It isn't always dangerous, but it can lead to addictions very easily. And a lot of the role-playing things that are out there are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So though this is harmless, I would be concerned. Also, think in terms of this. Would you let your daughter go spend a weekend with people you didn't know? But we let our children hang out online with people that we don't know. And so should you be concerned? Yes. I think that we need to really limit how much time our children do spend online. And even to the point of taking a basket and collecting every Kindle, every phone, a lot of the iPod players, every tablet, every laptop, having them in one location, and that mm-hmm. children need to ask to use any of them. We don't want our children's relationships to be online. We want them to be with real flesh and blood people that we know well. And so I would say that your concern is from the Lord. And is your child doing anything wrong? Probably not. But could it lead to other things? Probably yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very, very good advice. And everybody's, even my phone and my husband's phone, everybody's phone, are in the same place, and that is so important. And, you know, I'm glad you said Kindle, because now with the Kindle Fire, that's another online device. And so I think with us, you know, it's just so easy to forget and get busy. But we do need to know what our kids are doing. And I think that was a great question. So thanks so much for asking that question. And Meredith, once again, we are at the close of our hour, and you know, I've thought about keeping the show a little bit shorter, but it is so difficult to get all this great information in. So thanks again for joining me, my friend, and I look forward to hearing your show tonight. And also those of you listening, you know, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you coming and supporting us. So God bless, Meredith, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and to VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.